now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lucy Potter. And on the show tonight, we'll be hearing from Nikita from the brilliant Sisterland Festival, talking about their biggest event yet, returning for 2026.
And joining us live later is Steph from Queer Surf Club to tell us all about what they're up to.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out.
See,
well, I'll let you know that Ez is
even
here.
Even though I'm presenting, I knew, oh, Ez is here, and they'll want to...
Well, you hit me under the table. And oh, sorry, I'm not saying that.
I want to do their bumba bumba bum bum.
I do like my bumba bum bums, yeah.
It's all right, during the mic test, Steph thought it was a morning, so... You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've not really known what day or time it was today, to be fair. Although you did manage to lose me for 3 hours, didn't you, in my office den. And then I suddenly emerged.
Was that just because you'd stolen the aircon unit?
No. I mean, it is on wheels, but I feel like Steph would actually run at me if I tried to take the aircon into my office. But it's a different climate in my room.
Is it?
Steph and Oscar had like this most magnificent sort of breeze going through the kitchen and the living room. I felt like I was in a sauna. I mean, other than that, it was very fair and I'm fine about it and not at all.
You just described everybody else's week.
I was going to say,
fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't worry. We're all here. We're all quite sweaty. It's all right. Yeah. It's fine.
And I'm the only one in black, it was pointed out when I came in.
Yeah.
Head to toe.
My first day having hot
trousers,
flashes.
Black. Yeah, it's a choice. And a hat.
It's a choice. What was that, Andy?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Quite flushes. He's having the menopause.
Oh, wow.
The menopause, yeah.
The menopause. Yeah.
It is hot, though, isn't it?
And I know it's a British thing, but it really flipping is. It's been
It's more the humidity that is the killer.
Yeah.
If it was a bit drier heat, it would actually be quite nice. Yeah.
Someone said talc was a good solution.
Lucy
was explaining to me, like, if you can't find a rolling pin, how you can make cakes and stay cool and walk at the same time.
I think you confuse talcum powder with self-raising flour.
Oh, God, that's what I did.
You want to, if you want to run into the kitchen and chuck a load of flour down your T-shirt, then, like, fine. Right? Be
that's
my
a
guess,
sticky mess.
It's not going to be nice. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You're definitely
don't make cake with talcum powder.
I have had a Ross from Friends moment with talcum powder, though.
And leather trousers.
Fake leather, faux leather trousers, yes.
I want to...
Many years ago.
I have a mental image
so
now.
Many questions.
Yeah. What's the thing?
To get them on?
Not sure it's suitable
Did
for
I?
It.
Yeah.
Covered most of my bottom.
I mean, there was baby oil in that scene as well.
What was that?
There was baby oil in that scene as well. So
I'm not sure that mixes.
There was baby lotion in my scene.
Isn't it hazardous?
I thought it was dangerous for PVC.
It's dangerous anyway to breathe in. There's people in the States suing.
Only if you're
Johnson
using
Johnson.
It, you know, in like excessive amounts, you know, creating clouds.
They changed the formula anyway, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And we've got a different product over here.
You sound very knowledgeable about it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I thought Lucy was a talcum powder expert.
Steph will tell you that when I moved in, it was a whole problem. Do you remember the talcum powder era? When I moved
what
in.
What do you mean era?
I went through like a whole year of getting through a large amount of talcum powder.
Oh. I can't believe we've gone from heatwave to
puffing
talcum powder.
It's triggered a very, very core memory, including me trying to get trousers up that were already too small.
I mean, I think we've just figured out why it's different in your room.
Why I'm on my own half of my life, yes. I think I've worked that out as well.
Steffi, just let them have the aircon. Honestly, I think it's better for everyone.
Really. No, not with talcum powder. Just end up with a cloud.
Yeah. Exactly. But I got to say, as long as it drops back a little bit over the next couple of days.
Oh, it's going to, yeah.
It's thunder
gonna
be and lightning.
Yeah, it's cooler. And it's looking like the weekend's going to be okay, though.
Yeah.
There might be a bit of rain on Sunday, but it's a little bit difficult to predict. So we're not too bad. I mean, you go to the continent, it's like 45.
Yeah, that thunder and lightning on Monday. Was it Monday?
Yeah, yeah,
that,
it was, yeah.
Didn't really cool, that was it something else.
Didn't
that
cool
was.
It was. Did it? I've never seen anything like it.
That was
it.
A deluge.
Yeah, it was a deluge.
And like Bristol like alone had 800 strikes, apparently.
Yeah, it felt more like Spain.
So, unfortunately, a house got struck as well, haven't they?
Yeah, in Emerson's that. Green, yeah, caught fire.
Burnt out.
Yeah. So, oh well, you know, climate warming, apparently it's not true.
So who of the LGBTQ was to blame for that one?
Yeah, so who
I'm
was
just
it?
Looking around here.
I reckon it was the pansexuals. I haven't taken a hit yet, so come on, I'll have this one. It's a pansexual.
Were you really that annoyed, were you?
I was livid about everything. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? We can have all the weather, because apparently I'm greedy anyway, so if I can have all the people, I can have all the weather as well.
Well, at least we know how you make the clouds.
Pardon? With talcum powder.
With talcum powder.
We've learned so much about the pansexual talcum powder agenda here.
Yeah.
It's been good.
So's my therapist. Yeah. I bet she's paid to listen. You guys are just putting up with it. So,
well, I remember when we were talking about gay starter kits, I think we just figured out the first thing that goes into a pansexual starter kit. It's got to be talcum powder.
And a wok.
And a wok?
Yeah.
Why a wok?
Everybody likes to make jokes about what's my favourite pan, so just to be different, I say a wok.
Oh, right. Okay.
I didn't start it.
Okay, can we go to a feature, please?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. this is Sisterland. We'll be back in a minute.
Sisterland. That just about sums it up, doesn't it? I don't think I need to say any more. Before we get into it, tell us about your team and who came up with the idea to get you where you are.
Wow. Well, we've been going for about 6 years. We started as a very humble WhatsApp group, mainly because of myself and others feeling extremely frustrated with the creative industries, especially in particular the film industries, which is where my background is. So I was really, really struggling to find my people within this space. So take away, you know, the egos and all of the gatekeeping and really kind of just be seen as a human rather than just my job title. So I've been a production design art director for the last 6 years. And I just wanted to be seen as, a human, a woman in this industry. And so the community's just grown from strength to strength. And it's amazing because now we've become a real safe space for women, trans women and non-binary within our community. And we've gone from, a humble WhatsApp group to now being a yearly festival. And following our pilot last year, this is our first festival outdoors.
You have chosen such a lovely place for this. So tell us about where you're going to be.
So we're at Chew Valley Lake this year, and it's just beautiful. The venue we've chosen is usually a wedding venue, and usually a place that people go for a little bit of respite. So it really fits in with the theme this year, which is all around community powers change. You know, we're having some really big conversations that, you know, require a lot of energy, but to be surrounded by woodland and see water and just feel very held by the summer, it's perfect. We piloted our festival last year in the incredible Sparks building in Bristol, but Sisterland was always designed to be an outdoor event in the summer, and what better way to spend it than on Chew Lake in the valley.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, can people stay there? Like, are there going to be tents? Have they got to bring their own tents, or they're sort of the luxury safari ones that are already pitched for them?
Oh, I wish. A bit of both. So there is glamping, which is definitely on the more luxury side. So people can literally just book those, turn up, bedding, everything is included with that. So you can just go straight into getting your coffee or your poison of choice and just enjoy the weekend. Or we've got normal traditional camping as well as van life camping. So I will be doing that. I live in my van, so I will definitely be there with Pat. But yes, we do encourage people to stay on site because it's magic. So you don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah. So give us the dates of when it's across, because you don't want to miss this. I mean, it's a beautiful area.
So we are programmed the 10th of July until the 12th. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 3 day packed. And there is so much going on. It's just going to be, it's a lot. It's great.
Okay. Can you give us some highlights of what's coming up? Have you got like a main stage with acts on?
Absolutely. So we are, our festival is very much programmed around reigniting your creative fire. So if you feel really low at the moment creatively And, you know, especially the way the world is at the moment, you know, a lot of people are feeling very apprehensive. So the festival's all designed to really kind of reignite that creativity, reignite that spark, remind you all about self-love, but in ways that you just never imagined. I was surrounded by people that just get you. You don't have to perform. You don't have to put a face on. It is very much just an encouragement to be you, basically, in this safe space. In terms of highlights, we've got loads of incredible things happening. We've got Lou in Luland bringing her incredible bust, encouraging people to step into her incredible wardrobe and just wear whatever they want to wear and be photographed and just feel incredible. We've got amazing screenings happening all around women's health and in collaboration with Media Trust and UN Women. We've also got a PJ party on Saturday. So we're encouraging people to get into their comfortables and have a PJ party with us. It'll be a bit of a karaoke session, letting your hair out kind of thing. And then we've got saunas, massage tents on site. We've got smaller activations. We've got this beautiful exhale space, which is all designed to be a space where you can just chill out and kind of step away from all of the color and just be enveloped in like nature. We've got Lush on site doing treatments and activations for people. So there's a session where you can bottle up the fragrance of Sisland. So one thing that everyone took away last year was just the incredible buzz and to actually be able to bottle that scent. So when you go home and maybe you're feeling a bit low, you can just smell that bottle of fragrance and it will just take you straight back to, you know, being on that lake with your incredible sisters around you.
Oh, it sounds lovely. So how do people get tickets? Can they just come over for the day, their chosen day, or have they got to stay for the weekend?
Yes, there's a bit of both. So because we are a very, very small team, we've had to make operations as easy as it can be for us. So we do have weekend tickets, and then we have day if you're only able to come for the day, we've got Sunday only tickets as well. So Sunday, we've got an incredible lineup program and it just means that we can kind of like, yeah, operationally, it just helps us a lot. Mm. However, if you are really wanting to come and you can only make it for the one day, please do drop us an email at festival@sisterland.co and just explain the situation and we can send you a little code which gives you a day ticket if you only can come the Friday and Saturday.
Oh, there's no reason why people can't finish up at Bristol Pride on the Saturday and then head over to you.
Yeah, well, we
just
have
keep it going.
Exactly. Like, keep the celebration going. That's what it's about. And just being surrounded by people that understand you and care for you and love you, even without meeting you, is just something so incredible. And we found that with our pilot last year. Friendships were formed, communities were formed, people got work. You know, it was such a lovely ecosystem. And we exist outside of our festival. We are a community. So we're very much extremely on it with making sure that people feel held, and we encourage community spirit. So, you know, we want people to kind of be going here, there and everywhere after the festival. So
right, so tickets then, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and remind us once again of those dates and give us your social media so people can follow you and get involved.
Yeah, for sure. So the dates are the 10th until the 12th of July. So we're only a couple of weeks away, Friday to Sunday. Our Instagram handle is SisterlandFest. So that's spelt S-I-S-T-A-Land-Fest. So it's not in traditional gender-specific word. It's S-I-S-T-A. And then in specifically about tickets, tickets are on sale. They're on the website. Our early birds have now gone, but we still have availability of the weekends and day tickets for Sunday. If financially that is a blocker, you know, we appreciate that things do cost money. Please do drop us an email because we have bursary tickets available through some sponsorship that we received this year to help people get there. So if financially that is a blocker for you, please don't let that hold you back. Drop us a DM or drop us an email and we'll be more than happy to send that out. And we also have PA passes as well. So if you do have a carer, then they automatically come free. So again, just drop us a message and we can get them there, get everyone there.
Excellent. Really do love the sound of this. And Nikita, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out.
Thank you so much.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Lovely summary on that. So, Miles Smith, and nice to meet you.
Love it. I was having a little bop.
Yeah.
Well,
I tried to pick some summary ones.
Have you
it really depends who it's here. I mean, everyone says, oh, how do you, I hate your music. I'm waiting for it.
No. You have the MP3 library. You're allowed to have it. But yes, if we have to hear Pentatonix one more time.
I haven't played Pentatonix in years.
Not for quite a week.
Long time.
No, have I put the thought in your head now?
Yeah, I'll have to get one for next week. No.
Well, you know what we're playing next week?
Yeah, while Lucy's on the march at Pride, every song in between can be Pentatonix.
We were just talking about Pride, weren't we? And our ideal weather, which mine would be 22
you
want to
be
to 25.
In 20. I'd like a nice 28, 29.
Oh, nice. No.
Oh, no.
18.
18. there will be three of us on the march this year interviewing people.
Yep.
So keep an eye out for us. We will have our high-vis jackets on because that's literally the most exciting bit.
Yeah. It is.
And also talking to all the lovely people who will be marching. That one.
I was just going to leave that there.
We're not going to bother.
No. I quite like a high-vis and a clipboard.
Yeah, well, you'll hear in a minute in the news, actually. It's been quite an event to try and pull it off this year with Pride.
Yes,
they've really struggled. Yeah. Darren gave an interview to the BBC and was like, you know, they've lost like about a quarter of their sponsors. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a
sign of the times.
Yes. Yeah, very worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I still think it's going to be a wonderful event, even maybe more,
it
a little bit more special every year.
But it proves the reason we need it, doesn't it? That's a worry.
I guess people don't realise why we need it sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, and it was the biggest march that they'd had in numbers last year.
Oh,
and I think
we're
going to see that increase again this year.
It's all the normals. They kind of don't even know what's happening. And you see, watch their faces as you walk.
Oh,
past.
I know. They don't know it's that day.
Or the ones that drive in, they're trying to kill people.
I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, somebody was getting married and hetero married, and they were
still married.
Is that still allowed?
Allegedly.
And they had literally driving in an open top car, and they went down past the start of the Pride March, and so they got cheered on by a load of queers who were half dressed in rainbow stuff. Go, you go, girl! Yeah, they got a massive round of applause, and they were really not expecting it.
I'm pretty sure one year Sing Out Bristol actually ended up singing a song to a bride. Because she got, it was in the days when it was like college, is it College Green, the one in front of the council house?
Yeah.
And they got married and they were there having photos. And I'm pretty sure Sing Out Bristol ended up singing a song for the bride.
Bristol, you've always got your friendly neighbourhood gay choir.
There's a lot of them now, though.
About five.
Yeah.
We've interviewed all of them.
I think we have, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know, is Sing Out opening again this
year? Yes, I believe they are. Okay. Yep, they're back.
They're
again.
Also part of Sing for Pride, which is happening.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, thank you, Steph, for letting us know. Yeah, we knew that, but also Sing for Pride.
Sorry, have we got two Steph's?
We've got two Steph's.
Steph.
One's more Bristolian than the other.
I thought Steph had gone
though.
A bit quiet because she's having to share
her
precious.
How do you spell yours then, Steph?
Steph.
See, I'm still special.
Steph-a-fa.
Steph-a-fa FM. It has to be with two F's because it's FM. Listeners, you can't see that, but I literally just got a death stare.
Are you getting a lift home tonight?
I don't think I've ever not seen Andy blink. I didn't know what was happening.
I didn't really know how to follow that. Which is rare for me.
I thought you were doing that thing where you just let me carry on going and seeing how far I can carry on going.
You want SFM?
No, I don't. No. I've got the news, actually. Oh, yeah. Listeners, I've got the news. Andy, would you like me to read the news? Because I've got the news. Please.
Now you've said it so nicely.
I don't want it to be all about me.
No, I know. I can see you're blushing.
I am. It's like
it's highly unusual.
Very unusual.
It is, actually, that I get a little bit hot under the collar.
Do you think you can compose yourself and do the news? Because you're going to have to do it with Steph.
Just don't look at me. I'm shy. Right. Yeah, I'm ready.
So if it's Steph-a-fa, is it Steph?
Yeah, Steph, and I'm Ezra.
So sorry about that.
I just apologise to our guest.
Right, should we do something serious? Should we get some news?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The UK government's finally published its long-awaited draft bill to ban conversion practices in England and Wales, 8 years after it was first promised. The bill makes it a criminal offence to carry out abusive conversion practices, that is, conduct intended to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity that causes serious harm or distress. It covers LGBT plus people of all identities, and those found guilty could face up to 5 years in prison. However, campaigners including Transactual have raised serious concerns about the detail. The bill only bans abusive conversion practices, which critics say leaves a loophole for practices that stop short of that threshold. It also contains an exemption for healthcare settings, and victims would need to prove they've suffered serious harm or distress, which campaigners argue is a high bar that could leave many without protection. Stonewall has welcomed the bill as a crucial step, but says it will be scrutinising the detail closely. The bill now enters a pre-legislative scrutiny phase, meaning there's still time for changes before it becomes law.
And Pride events across England are facing their hardest year yet, with some cancelled, others scaled back, and rising pressure from both costs and changing attitudes. Bristol Pride says its corporate sponsors are down by around a quarter and costs have risen massively. The main event is on the 11th of July, but organisers warn it's been the most difficult year to organise in the event's history. Surrey Pride has been cancelled entirely, and Pride in the Forest of Dean was pulled due to a £25,000 funding shortfall, with organisers saying they couldn't responsibly put the wider organisation at risk. Organisers are also reporting a rise in hostility. In Weston-super-Mare, a pub had its Pride flags ripped down and destroyed last week, though they've since been repaired and rehung. A distillery in Clevedon also faced backlash for flying a flag and creating a Pride window display earlier this month. Darren Carter, director of Bristol Pride, said there had been a real shift in attitudes, with prejudice directed not just at the community, but at businesses that show their support.
A MAGA-supporting pastor who previously campaigned against LGBT plus books in schools has been sentenced to 15 years in prison for unlawful sexual contact with a 14-year-old girl. Sile Shelton from Ohio appeared before his local school board in 2023 arguing that LGBT plus books and pride flags were harmful to children, calling them a disgusting display. He successfully got school books fares restricted as a result, but Shelton was arrested for multiple sex offences against a child who was a member of his own church congregation. He pleaded guilty to 3 counts of unlawful sexual contact with a minor. The judge said he showed no remorse, and I blame the victim. Shelton will also have to register as a sex offender for 25 years.
Pioneering intersex activist Julie Mayfield has died at the age of 51. She passed away on Saturday 20th of June after a battle with kidney failure. Mayfield was born with a 47XXY chromosome variation, meaning she was born with both male and female biological characteristics. She was passionate about educating others about what it means to be intersex and the challenges intersex people face. Her best friend said she'd been preparing those close to her for this outcome because she was getting tired of the struggle, not just with the world accepting who she was, but with her own body attacking her. In 2024, Mayfield said, "I know I'm creating ripples that long term might make a difference. That's important to me. Nobody said advocacy was easy, but once it finds you, you feel like you need to keep doing it for the people behind you."
West Midlands Police has issued a formal apology for the historic mistreatment of LGBT plus people. In an open letter marking Pride Month, Acting Chief Constable Scott Green said the way laws were used to target gay and bisexual men before decriminalisation was completely wrong. He wanted to sincerely and wholeheartedly apologise for that. He acknowledged those laws ruined lives and had a lasting negative impact, and that people couldn't open about who they were for fear of being arrested. He said he has been deeply saddened by the trauma experienced by many as a result of policing, and that he cannot right the wrongs of the past, but he can offer sincere regret. He encouraged people to report anti-LGBT plus hate crime, saying the force wants to build trust and confidence in policing.
And finally, streaming service Tubi has celebrated Pride Month with a free merchandise drop featuring slogan t-shirts, a free jockstrap and a bright yellow harness, and it sold out within hours. The t-shirts bore slogans including Proud Tubi Gay and one rather more memorable design we probably can't repeat on air. The jockstrap had the word free on its waistband. Tubi released two batches of the limited edition merch and both flew off the digital shelves almost immediately, leaving fans scrambling for the next drop. Some people online found it amusing that Tubi is owned by a Fox Corporation, but hey, if Fox are paying for free Pride harnesses, we're not complaining. And that's it for this week, but you can find those and many more news stories on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, I'm Ezra Peregrine.
And I'm Steffi Barnett.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you. For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Who's that? That's Sindresu. It's called Daydream, that one. My summary one again.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get you nice and chilled, you know, because you can't run around in this heat, can you?
No, and you can't, as I found out, you can't really cycle here either. It's not a good idea.
I could barely walk.
And it's going to rain on the way back, and I have not packed cagoules, so I will be cycling back in the rain.
Moist. I mean, if it says it's hot, though, you're just like, I know what you can use, tachycardia powder.
Yeah, oh, man, okay, I wish I
not
that.
Not flour, okay?
Not flour, yeah.
Who would suggest that?
I'm so sorry, Steph, welcome to Shoutout.
Yes, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you here. So now, one thing that this weather is perfect for is surfing.
Yeah, baby. Isn't it?
Yeah. Have you been taking advantage of it?
I was in Cornwall last week surfing.
Nice.
However, there was not a heat wave, so I was quite sad that it was last week, not this week. Oh. But what can you do?
Well, was the weather okay, though?
The weather was good. The weather was good, and it's always about the waves anyway.
Yeah. So. I bet it's lovely in this kind of heat, though, jumping around in the sea.
So
it must be
good.
Quite cold.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel as cold when you're in like 3 mil of neoprene.
I was about to say, it's probably still a wetsuit thing in the UK anyway. Yeah.
Even just to prevent the surf rash, you know?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, but definitely. So can you talk to us about Queer Surf Club? Because that's what you're here to talk about. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the organisation and what you guys do and what your remit is?
Absolutely. So Queer Surf Club exists to create inclusive surfing to save our oceans. So we're both a community group and also an environmentalist group. We're trying to bring more queer people into nature, into water, to experience it and then be able to kind of connect with nature and therefore look after our planet as well. And our club has been described as magic, which is absolutely beautiful.
And what do the actual events look like with Queer Surf Club? What would a typical turning up to a Queer Surf Club meet be like?
Yeah. So our typical meets that are run by our community, so our QSC hosts, would just be someone putting a message in the chat and saying, hey, anyone want to surf at this place on this day? Like who's in kind of thing, and like meet you there, meet people in the car park, get in your surf gear and get in the water. We also run a couple at the moment this year, one big weekend and one big kind of day meet, which I'm going to talk about later.
Yes.
Run kind of centrally by Queer Surf Club, the organisers, that's me, Fraser and Anna. And that basically is much more of an organised affair where it's got options for all levels of ability of surfer, whether you've never been in before, you've kind of played in the whitewash a little bit, or you're looking to improve your surfing. And for our advanced surfers, we're really proud that we have two of the UK's semi-pro longboarders amid our members,
wow,
which is super cool.
Oh.
So yeah, we've got surfers of all ages, all abilities, from all across the country as well. We're not just a...
Oh, so you're a national?
Yeah, it's a national club. Our meets typically, obviously, are at surf... Well, always are at surf locations. So they're typically kind of Cornwall and Wales historically, but what right. we're trying to do this year and
beyond... Have
you ever
used the wave here in Bristol?
Yeah, well...
Wave? More on that later.
Oh, okay, sorry. Dropping the heads.
Spoil it.
yeah, we're really trying to encourage more people across the country to kind of start their own little hubs and host events across the country.
So can you talk about why the organisers and founders felt there was a need for a queer surf club in surfing spaces?
Yeah.
I think I might know what the answer's going to be. But
So Fraser, our founder, is actually one of four brothers. Him and two of his brothers are gay. And he grew up in Cornwall surfing, with his brothers in the water and just like had the best time, loves the ocean, loves the freedom that comes with surfing and the kind of feeling of being so small when you're in the ocean. I think all of us, whenever you, whether you're swimming or sitting by the beach, can feel that, the insignificance of you and your life in a philosophical way. And just kind of turned around in the lineup one day and was like, I'm having the best time with all of my friends and brothers. And like, wouldn't it be so amazing to get like a load of queer people together surfing? Because it feels so joyful and incredible and like community and filled with fun.
So how long have you been involved?
I joined 2.5 years ago. And it's a funny story because I'd been following Queer Surf Club on Instagram for 3 years prior, like over kind of found them during COVID, but couldn't make any of the meets that they had running because they kind of do at the time did like 2 or 3 a year, big ones, and was busy all the dates. But then I actually signed up to volunteer and become part of the committee before I'd even been to one of the events.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh.
So I've got to say, I've heard of parasocial relationships where you get very, very invested with somebody you follow online, but that is really taking it to the next level. So you developed a parasocial relationship with Queer Surf Club and then put yourself forward as one of the organisers.
Okay. Before I'd even been.
And so then have you been surfing a long time then? Are you someone who was doing it when you were young?
No. I started surfing or learning to surf properly when I was 22. So I just graduated uni and I was like, hey, as a kid, my childhood dream was to be an RNLI lifeguard on the beach. Because I did used to go to on
so
holiday. Just want to be in the Baywatch outfit, okay?
Yes.
But like, yeah.
That's a lovely dream. I love that.
Yeah. Like the tomboy version.
I think you've inspired Ez now.
Well, I was thinking like, I used to love watching the RNLI growing up. I spent many a summer in Cornwall. And I would imagine at one point, I probably said I wanted to do that as well. Yeah. So there is something very beautiful about being in the water. And it's lovely that it's something was sort of started from there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm taking you never actually did that in the end then.
I didn't become a lifeguard, but I actually was like, hey, I could learn to surf. And for me, honestly, learning to surf is quite a big lesson. Like it gives you so many life lessons, surfing. But specifically, I was not a very active child. And a lot of people that know me now are like, what the hell, like you do so many activities and you're so active and you're very capable. And I didn't have a lot of trust in my body because of not having a very physical childhood. And so learning to surf has become such a test and a challenge, but also like such a like proof of myself and massively improved my confidence to be able to learn to do anything.
So what was the attraction with you to it then? Because you said why he set it up about bringing other people. Were you specifically after a queer surf club yourself, or was it just because that was one you found and you just wanted to get into surfing? Or
I'd kind of been on this surfing learning journey, and actually over COVID was able to learn more because we were obviously all trapped in the UK and I could get down to Cornwall and get in the water. So I was kind of having this escape and learning this amazing sport in such a beautiful place. When I then went back to London after COVID, I was a benefactor of so many beautiful queer spaces, and I think lots of queer spaces really blossomed after COVID because people were like, we need more connection, and lots of people have found queer community over COVID, and I was benefiting massively from that and having the best time. And I was like, hey, I really want to be a queer organizer. This has inspired me because I think I need to give back to give and create these spaces. But B, I was at the time I found Queer Surf Club, I went to my first event, I was kind of a bit in motion, my life was changing quite a lot, and I was like, I want to find a queer space that marries up my queerness, my identity, and building community with surfing and an activity that I love and in a place that I adore.
Which is amazing because it's not the kind of thing that normally happens when you have a passion like that and there's just a group
it like brought together these two huge parts of my life, and I was like, this is incredible.
So how does it work? Have you got is it a membership thing? Do you pay for being part of it? Or
yeah, so it's a free club. Anyone can join, and you just have to sign up to Queer Surf Club on our app Halo. And once you're on the community platform, you can see all the events. You can join any local chats that you're close to or go to regularly.
I guess what would somebody who's feeling nervous about, or feeling like it's not for them, or feeling like that they are maybe not a strong swimmer, or they're not fit, they don't want to surf, they just want a boogie board, or please tell me you don't exclude boogie boarders.
We absolutely do not exclude
bodyboarders. Fantastic.
We have a very inclusive, unsurprisingly, definition of surfing. So that can mean anywhere from body surfing, bodyboarding to surfing, whether you're just like carrying a surfboard into the water and just like splashing about and sealing around and having a great time.
Yeah, that would be me.
All the way up to like surfing out back and riding along a wave. So yeah, it's really open and inclusive to everyone. Our kind of centrally organized events, we make sure that there's like lessons for anyone that hasn't been before and that they're an accessible price. We have some really great partnerships with surf schools that we've worked with the last 6 years. So when we do like our big meets, we'll always make sure there's provision for that. And secondly, we always make sure we have a low income or subsidized option for people that can't access surfing or haven't accessed surfing before, where cost might be a prohibitor.
And have you got any sort of thoughts as to, because I surfing, I kind of have followed surfing. It's sometimes not got the best reputation. I'm just thinking of, well, you know, like pro surf competitions and how they kind of really only centered around white men and the struggle certainly for women and minorities to get recognition in that space. Have you got any thoughts about it? And considering that you're talking about such a spiritual connection and such a wonderful community, hopefully this is something that like Queer Surf Club is really trying to push back against and like challenge.
Yeah, so we have, we've followed a lot of the kind of World Surf League stuff. We don't really like promote a lot of it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's very much like kind of, I can't remember the word, but it's very like Western surf culture kind of on the big screen. And we saw it actually in 2024 where the World Surf League set one of the locations for their championship tour in Abu Dhabi at a wave pool, and Tyler Wright, who is the only out queer surfer on the circuit, she wears a pride flag on her jersey. She's the only surfer to do that ever. There's been no in history so far out gay like male surfers.
So like a lot of men's sport then.
And obviously that's probably from the culture. But Abu Dhabi has very anti-LGBTQ laws. Homosexuality is criminalised. So we actually were part of a collaborative petition along with Yvette Cave from Wave Wahinis and Surf Equity in the US to campaign against the World Surf League hosting this event in Abu Dhabi.
Amazing.
And we got over 1,500 signatures.
That's incredible. I've always been interested in surfing. I've not ever accessed it. So it's really interesting hearing it just like from my perspective, thinking, actually, this is something that anybody, if they want to sort of feel that they want to be in that space, it can be done. It can be accessible. And I mean financially as well, because I think sometimes that stops people. If I just think about the money side of things, people start thinking wetsuits
or the transport,
surfboards. But there are ways that it can become more available to more people. But I do think having that queer space, and also as you were saying earlier, the water is such a beautiful, magnificent, and sometimes terrifying place to be. Is it that 70% still hasn't been discovered, or something like 70% of our ocean still haven't been discovered?
You know. But you don't surf that deep, you're fine.
No, I would imagine not. No. Yeah,
everything's on the top of it, so it's okay.
Now it's Pride season.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
I believe you've got some kind of an event coming up.
We have.
I didn't know about it. I nearly let
you almost spoiled it at the start. You started talking about a particular venue, but now we'll bring it in.
Yeah, so we're super excited to be hosting a Pride takeover at The Wave on Sunday the 12th of July.
Amazing.
So that's the day after Bristol Pride for anyone that used to wash off their hangover.
that's such a good hangover treatment. Okay, so how's it going to
run? Absolutely buzzing. It's going to be an afternoon of queer joy at The Wave.
Afternoon, so you've got the morning to get over.
You can sleep in.
I'm not sure surfing with a hangover is actually a very good idea.
We're all going to try.
So what time does it start? And what are the details?
Yeah, so starting at 1 p.m. and lasting until probably about 8:30 p.m. We are running a welcome circle to welcome everyone into the space. This is a QSC tradition and always part of our central meets where we introduce everyone pronouns, and we always do like a little like warm up together. Then there's surf sessions running at the wave from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. So a lot of our members have booked onto those through our Queer Surf Club event on Halo. But if you still want to get involved, you can book into those sessions. So Sunday the 12th of July, the 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m. sessions via the Wave website, and just we're already booked in. So if there's a spot left, book in and you'll join us.
Look for all the people in rainbows, guys.
Yeah, you can't miss us. We've also got really cool support from Bristol Surf Cinema. Who we are partnered with. They're kind of like one of our allies.
Surf Cinema.
Yeah. And they're going to be...
Oh, get with it, Andy. In the same way that there's like 5 gay choirs in Bristol, there's also about 17 cinema clubs. And
yeah.
Surf Cinema is one of them.
Well, there's a surf cinema club.
Yes, there
right,
is.
Okay.
Wow. So they're going to be screening three, hopefully four, queer surf-specific films in the hangout in the Wave. So anyone can come down for free to the Wave on Sunday the 12th of July in the afternoon to watch one or all of the queer surf films, join the fun, join the welcome circle. We're also having a community dinner from 6 p.m. once everyone's out of the water. I'm hoping there'll be face paint. I've got some free non-alcoholic drinks from a specific brand that I can't mention. And we're going to also, I found out today, we've got a DJ.
Sounds fun.
It's going to be popping.
So, yeah. So when your pride finishes, it doesn't. Can go
carry on the
get
party.
Wet, watch a film. Drink, be merry.
Watch gay surf films. Yeah. Go surfing. Yeah.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Sounds like a really cool day, to be
fair. It does.
Yeah. So the Wave's supposed to be a brilliant venue as well.
Yeah, it's super cool. And like, no matter the weather, we'll get in the water. And there's inside and outdoor spaces, accessible routes, and lots of other provision for anyone that wants to come and join for free. Just come hang out with us. And if you want to get in the water, then please book in via the Wave website.
Can we book Steph in?
Yeah.
I hope we're going to be playing the Beach Boys of Jan and Dean next, Mr. Shilton.
No, I didn't.
It's compulsory. We're talking about surfing.
I mean, we haven't got a Beach
Come
Boys
on.
Track.
I'm what? Sorry.
You
we're going to have to sing
you
it.
Didn't have a
Surfing Safari by the Beach Boys.
Oh, hang on. I think we've got a generational moment happening here.
Yeah.
But Steffi will know it, so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What I really like about this as well, just bringing it back to the date, is that I think sometimes people feel a bit low at the end of Pride and the morning of the Sunday after Pride. So it's great to know that there's...
That's called a hangover.
Yeah, but also knowing that there are some other spaces that...
Sober
but,
as well.
Yeah, sober, yeah. Queer... And something that they can go to once they've been to the event on the Saturday. Yeah. You know, it doesn't all have to stop there, is what I'm trying to say. You know,
so very quickly, if people want to get involved, find out more about you, what's the best? How do they get hold of you? Are you socials? Have you got a website? Or?
Yeah, we are online at queersurfclub.com. We are on Instagram at queersurfclub. We're on Halo, which is our community platform, Queer Surf Club. And we also have a weekend event coming up mid-September in Wales, if you'd like to join us for a whole weekend of queer fun. Tickets going live for that on Halo on Sunday.
We're going paddling, aren't we, Ed? We're going to go.
I think we might be, yeah.
You'll have to come back and tell us about the September thing when this one's out. Like, you can tell us how well this
great.
One went.
Yeah.
So, and very quick, are you going to Pride?
Yeah, I'll be there. See you in the streets.
Yeah, amazing. Cool.
We'll look out for you. Look for us. We've got high-vis vests.
Oh, baby. And I'll have a clipboard.
Oh, God. Watch out.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's lovely. It's brilliant to hear about.
See you in the Waves.
You're listening to Shoutout. Stay with us. Back in a minute.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Imagine Dragons. Nice to meet you.
Imagine Dragons are so
diverse.
Varied. Diverse. Yeah, yeah, I've seen Imagine Dragons. Absolutely amazing.
Have you seen them live?
I have. Oh. Yeah, and I've seen. Yeah, I've
really
seen,
like them.
Seen some good old bands live. I have Touring on Pilots. They're one of my favourites.
Yeah. You have anyway. To. You kind of have to like pay attention to actually figure out. Oh yeah, that is a. Imagine
I have
Dragon
to. They are. I think that's what makes.
I totally didn't spot it at all, but I only know that one song by Imagine Dragons. Sorry.
Are you going to sing?
Not my genre. No.
I had to say to Steph off air, I'm sorry, I wasn't actually trying to knock your hand away. It was just my very chaotic timing, because when I thought she was going to burst into song. We've taken a turn.
I'm so sorry. Senior moment.
Beach Boys. It's the Beach Boys.
I can't cope
that
with that today.
That was me singing. I brought my own band in.
Wow. You sounded absolutely
I know,
incredible.
Right? Yeah.
I don't ever get
just
that
like
voice
Brian
anymore.
Wilson.
You even
just
lost like your Bristolian Brian accent.
Well, there you go.
I didn't know the Beach Boys from Bristol.
Catching down the wave with some cider. Gertlash. Don't worry about it.
You know we're going to have to AI a photo of Steph on a surfboard at the wave.
Yeah.
For this.
I mean, to be honest, Steph's going to be there. What are you talking about? She's taking a deck. You know how you had a DJ? You don't have a DJ anymore. So, other Steph, Queer Surfing Steph, you don't have a DJ anymore because we're bringing our Steph.
Okay.
She will play
back to back, right?
Yeah, pretty much. She'll play Beach Boys.
But the most modern hit you were here will be from 1964, though. We must warn you.
He's going
to
get a dead arm.
I'm sorry, I do go to 69.
Oh, dear.
Too easy.
We're going to keep that one.
Knock him up.
if I am around, I will actually be coming down.
Yay!
Like, even if it's just for the films, because I think that was the great bit about what you were saying as well. Sorry, I know we've come to the end of the interview, but I'm just a bit excited now.
No, well, we'll have to send you down with the mic.
Steph's still here, so
I'll send you down with the mic so you
Raven
can get some.
We'll put some stuff on the show as to how well it went. Yeah, we do that. We cover events. We come and ask.
We
people.
Do indeed.
We talk to them and interview them. So yeah, I was asking Steph, like, are you going to be showing Point Break? Because that is the gayest. Uh-huh. Yeah, Ez gets it. That is the gayest surf film. You know, Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves were definitely into each other, but
I was definitely into them. Yeah, Keanu Reeves is just beautiful.
Talk about a little 90s crush moment. But
I really loved that film. What was that? Was that the late 80s?
No,
it was the 90s. But then I watched it again, and I was like, oh, actually, he looked quite scuzzy actually. And I was like, oh, watching it as a 12-year-old and watching it as a 38-year-old, are quite different experience.
I had that with Beautiful Thing, because I had a crush on the guy in Beautiful Thing, and now it's very inappropriate because he was a teenager.
Yeah, but you were a teenager.
I was a teenager time myself, you know.
No, that's okay. We were the same age.
I've seen Agent Scully in The X-Files, and I still like Gillian Anderson. It's okay. It's all right. These people grow up with you.
They do in real life, but they don't in the film. Yeah.
Honestly,
Gillian's not been in a surf film. That needs to happen.
Gillian Anderson in yes.
Can you imagine looking at the queues of the people at the cinema? They'd all look like me.
Yeah, they'd all look like you and me. Yes. Oh, we'd all be there. It's clutching our Asian Scully posters.
Yeah. How did you know I had X-Files posters on my walls?
Yeah.
There was rumour they were going to bring the X-Files back at one point. I don't think it ever happened, did it?
No, it's all right. They made the two films, and unfortunately, they were both terrible. But
kind of
killed it. There it is. Don't worry about it. She's okay, though. Don't worry. She's not struggling for work. She's got plenty of
things. No, she's had all kinds of things. Didn't she play Margaret Thatcher?
Less hot. Let's not remember that one.
But as the therapist in Sex Education,
She's just come out in a film with Hannah Einbinder, who was in Hacks, called Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Miasma, which just won the Queer Palm d'Or at Cannes.
Oh,
and talking of films, one of your favourite films is on in Bristol very, very shortly.
Lesbian Space Princess, yes.
Brilliant film, well worth seeing.
It's such a good film.
Apparently, I'm informed it's very, very lifelike and true.
Totally true to life.
It's exactly what lesbians are like.
Girlfriend dumps her after 3 weeks of dating, and
it's like I wrote it.
Pretty much my life in my 20s, yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you have an event or a story, or perhaps you'd like to get involved in LGBT+ radio, do check us out online, and get in touch.
Plus, all our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, the only hint I can give you is Vision. From myself, from Steph, from Ez, from other Steph, and from Tara in the back, and Lucy. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.